this church has a pastor. Every person has a pastor. And I even extend myself to those who have not officially joined. I extend myself to be their pastor. And 3 years ago, I discovered that you're the only person, Isaiah Joshua, who walks in the door of the church and you don't have a pastor. And I thought I'd do something about that. I thought I can take care of that. So I decided that I would find a man. I wanted to find a man that represented the things that I represent. I wanted to find a man with integrity. I wanted to find a man with drive, with fortitude. And I thought about many pastors that I could have gone to and said, I'd like for you to be my pastor. But there's only one person that I chose to serve as my pastor. And that's Todd Atkins, the pastor of the Salem Institutional Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. And it is with great honor and great pleasure that I stand to introduce to you the man, present to some, the man that will preach us happy in this house today. Help me welcome my pastor, Pastor Todd Atkins.
He has done. To God be the glory for all the things He has done. To God be all the glory for all the things He has done. I'm going to try this one more time. To God be the glory for all the things that He has done. God is an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. We bring you greetings from the Salem Institutional Baptist Church. The sunny South Dallas, amen, and for my family, amen. Thank God for you, and we just here to lift up a name, the word of the God, for God is an awesome God, and He's worthy to be praised. Let's give God a praise for 135 years of the goodness and the blessing. Come on, let's put our hands together. For 135 years, God has blessed you, God has kept you, God has brought you a mighty long way. But the more you keep praising Him, the more He can do for you. For God is an awesome God. And one thing I know about Shiloh, y'all don't hold church long. So pray for this little preacher and go with me to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel chapter 3. Beginning with verse 20 and concluding with verse 30. And to your pastor whom I love so much, who I draw inspiration, mentorship. When I have a problem I can't figure out, it's good to have somebody to call on. Somebody ought to say amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, sometimes when you become a pastor, it's hard to find a friend. Because some people are waiting for you to mess up. Yeah, I got a witness here. In Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, hear the word of the Lord. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosens and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You got to be careful when you touch God's people. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. Somebody shout, fell down. Bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and arose up in haste and spoke and said unto the counselors, did we not cast three bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, O, to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come thither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselor, being gathered together, saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. Hallelujah. Neither a hair on their head was singed, neither were their clothes changed, neither the smell of fire had passed on them. I can't hardly keep myself together. Verse 28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and having changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they may not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, every nation and language which spake anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Oh, somebody should shout right there, no other God. And verse 30 says, then the king promoted, somebody shout promoted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the providence of Babylon. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for just the excitement that comes to realize that you still God, and beside you, there is no other. Oh, let me correct that. Above you, beside you, next to you, under you, there is no other God. Matter of fact, there is no God beside you. So, Father, I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for waking me up this morning, giving me a mind. I thank you for giving me a word to preach to your people. I stand not to be seen, not to be applauded, not to be congratulated, because I owe it all to you. And Father, I thank you for keeping my heart beating, my blood pressure down, my mind focused on you. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Oh, before I forget, Satan, you better get ready, because God is about to move in this place. I know you sneaking in on my prayer. I know you want to know what I'm praying. I'm going to tell you better than you heard. The devil is a liar, and God still sits high and looks low. To God be the glory for all the things he has done. And the people of God say together, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. And turn to your neighbor, grab somebody by the hand, look at him with a smile on your face and say, neighbor, pray for the preacher. He's going to talk about grow while you're in it. Somebody say amen. Grow while you're in it. You remember a prophet named Jonah, who because of his disobedience found himself trapped in the belly of a great fish. And while at the bottom of the sea, inside a fish, he grows spiritually. Which reveals you can be trapped physically and still grow spiritually. Now, y'all can't miss that point. You can be trapped physically, but still grow spiritually. This is true because Jonah refused to follow God. God used a fish to swallow up Jonah to change an entire nation. Yet in the book of Daniel, we have a story of three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, who found themselves not in a fish, but in a fiery furnace. But in that case, the furnace was not the judgment from God. Jonah fell under the judgment. That's why he got swallowed up. These men were just being faithful and got thrown into a fiery furnace. So the first question we must examine is, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow them to be thrown into a fiery furnace? Well, in chapter 2, the Bible says the king had a strange dream.
And he dreamed of a large image, and the image had a head of gold, a breast and arms of silver, and belly and arms of brass, and the feet were of iron and clay. And no one in the kingdom could help the king understand it because he made it impossible. He says, if you're going to interpret my dream, you got to first tell me what I dreamed, then give me the interpretation. And the people, his counselors, said, King, that's impossible. If you tell us the dream, we can give you the interpretation. He says, no, because if I tell you the dream, you may manipulate me. Don't tell everybody what you've been dreaming, because some folk will use your dream to manipulate you. And so they call the dream, and so it's so powerful. And so this moment, let me tell you how God can use an unbeliever's dream to be and reveal a believer's gift. For the only one was a man by the name of Daniel who had the gift of interpretation. And so God can use the people who don't know him to elevate the people who do. Shiloh, don't miss this. Don't limit your life by believing. God can only use Christians to bless you. Don't limit yourself. By believing, God can only use church folk to help you. I serve a God that works through all things and all people. And let me help you grow. In Jeremiah 29:7, it says, "Sis, pray for the peace of the city, for I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall have your peace." Here they are in Babylonian captivity. God says, don't hate the Babylonians, pray for them. Because you are captive in Babylon, and you want to make sure Babylon got running water so you can turn. I wish I can be with you. You got to pray for the kings of Babylon to make sure, because when they are at peace, then you will be at peace. I got news for you. You better learn to pray for the folk that don't like you. You better learn how to pray for the folk that hate you. You better learn how to pray for the folk that's stabbing you in the back. Because I got news for you. Help me, Holy Ghost, here. You know what I learned? Can I be honest? I learned to pray for my supervisor. I learned how to pray for my boss. I learned how to pray for the owner of the company. Can I tell you why? Because if the company don't make money, the owner can't pay me. And so because I want to be paid, I pray for it. Have I got a witness? Simply, you know, simply, you're in an ungodly nation, surrounded by ungodly people, but I want you to pray for them because your peace is connected to their peace. Somebody say, pray for Babylon. And in other words, you better pray for Babylon, because God can use the Babylonians to bless you. Jesus says, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who despitefully use you, because I can use the people who hate you to bless you. I can use the people who can't stand you to bless you. I can use the people that cuss you out to bless you. I can use the folk that talk about your children, that talk about your husband, and the same person that cuss you out say, I don't want to give it to you, but here you go. I wish I can be real with somebody here. God can use anybody. Help me, Holy Ghost. He can use anybody to bless you. And so Daniel's elevated. Daniel and tells him the dream and interprets the dream, and he brings with him. When Daniel gets elevated, he brings three young men with him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, don't miss this. When God elevates you, you need to elevate somebody else. It bothers me when you get hired and you don't tell your cousin they still hiring. I wish I can be real right here in the text. The Bible says when you get elevated, because watch this, your elevation may be God's test of your participation. Can you participate in the elevation of the kingdom and not just yourself? I wish I could be with you. This is kingdom business. Somebody shout, kingdom business. Kingdom business is more important than me and you. And so when God brings me up, he gives me a ladder to let down to somebody else to build them up where I am. And I got news for you. If you keep pulling people up, God will keep pulling you up. But when you stop pulling people up, God will take the ladder right out from under you. And where you thought you were, you'll go back down. Because the Bible says he elevates the humble. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Y'all making me get too excited. I got a little ways to go here. But in chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar erects a golden image, and he uses a law saying that whenever the music is played, everybody got to bow down and worship this image. And the judgment for violating it is that I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. Are y'all walking with me here? And so in a very public setting, you see, some folk can be holy in private, but they can't be holy in public. Matter of fact, it depends on who looking at them. Some folk can quote scriptures when they... Some folk will make you think they never make a mistake in church. But I got news for you. If you catch them around 10 o'clock on Saturday, help me, Holy Ghost, here. And they were going to throw them in a fiery furnace. To understand, watch this, to understand the risk of their refusal, you must understand that they were men of status and position. Because when Daniel was elevated, he pulled them up. So they have a position, Pastor. And there were rules in Babylon and exiles. But you know what? They were rulers in the city, but they were still exiles. And because God had favor, they gave them a position. But they weren't devoted to the position. They were devoted to the God who gave them the position. I know you are devoted to your God, your job, but are you devoted to the God that gave you the job? I wish I had a witness here. It amazes me how God can bless you with a job, but you would take overtime on a Sunday. I thought I was back at Salem. Let me help somebody here. Yet they refused to bow in spite of the risk of death and despite the risk of losing their position. It's interesting. It was their commitment to God that got them noticed in chapter 1. It was their commitment to God that got them elevated in chapter 2. And it was their commitment to God that got them in trouble in chapter 3. Watch this. Don't miss me. Which tells me their position and their status changed, but not their devotion to God. Shiloh, don't miss this. The test of your commitment comes before the promotion and after the promotion. The test of commitment is, can you still be you after God elevates you? Let me say that again. Can you still be you after God elevates you? You got some folk, they so humble when they broke. But the moment they get their income tax, they lose their ever-loving mind. I wish I had a witness here. Right here in the text. Right here in the text. When they was driving that raggedy car, they didn't mind parking. But now that they got a new car, they take up two spaces because they don't want nobody to get next to their car. Right here in the text here. The boys maintain their commitment in the face of fire and judgment of the king. Verse 17, watch this. The king says, now you better bow or we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Verse 17, the boys looked at the king and said, our God is able to deliver us out of your hands. But let me tell you the shouting part. But if not, we still won't buy. I wish I can shout with somebody here. The king responded with extreme anger and commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. Here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been committed to God, but they are facing a fiery furnace. Point number one, I'm a Baptist preacher. If you're going to grow, you must understand, even when you're faithful, you still got to face the fire. Even when you're faithful, you still got to face the fire. I came to tell somebody, nobody is exempt from trouble. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you pray. If you would be real with yourself in this place, nobody is exempt from trouble. Right here, you're going to face the fire. Simply, I'm faithful, but I'm still facing I give God my all, but I still got to face the fire. They stand faithful, but facing the fire that's getting hotter by the second. But notice in verse 19, while facing the fire, the king's face changes. The Bible says his countenance changes. He's frowning up. He's squinting his eye. How dare you defy me in front of all of my princes, in front of all of my buddies, in front of all of my friends. How dare you? His face is changing. The fire is getting hotter, but the bars are still standing. I said the king is getting madder. The fire is getting hotter, but the bars are still standing. Y'all gonna get me in a minute. Maybe somebody in the balcony know what I'm talking about. The king is getting madder and the fire is getting hotter, but the bars are still standing. Let me try that one more. Usher, know what I'm talking about. The king is getting madder. The fire is getting hotter, but the bars are still standing. I wish I could talk to somebody here. Folk are still getting madder at you. The fire is getting hotter, but you're still standing. Folk are talking about you like a dog. The burdens are getting heavy. The bills are getting more. The debt is increasing, but I'm going to keep on standing. I know you don't like me, but I'm going to keep on standing. I know the fire is getting hotter, but I'm going to keep on standing. I may lose the car tomorrow, but I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to keep on standing. Do I got anybody here that's determined I'm going to stand in this place? Keep on standing. Somebody ought to high five your neighbor and say, keep standing. I don't care what they say about you, keep standing. I don't care what they look at you, keep standing. If you don't want to sit next to me, sit up in the balcony, sit in the back, I'm going to keep on standing. If you won't call me, I ain't got time to talk to you no way. I'm going to keep on standing.
Right here in the text. Keep on standing. The king is getting madder. The fire is getting hotter. But the boys keep on standing. Help me with. I remember growing up, my mother used to have a saying. Fix your face. Anybody had a mama like that? We'd be in the back seat pouting, biting on our lip. Mama turn around, squint them eyes. You better fix your face. I ain't gonna tell you what else she said. She said, you better fix your face. But Pastor Joshua, I wish more Christians would fix their face. You come into church like God ain't done nothing for you. You come into church like you've been sucking on lemon heads and sour apples all day long, like God ain't woke you up this morning. You coming in? And I believe God is gonna shout from heaven, you better fix your face. I woke you up this morning, kept your lights on, kept the devil off your back, and you have the audacity to walk up in my house like I ain't God. You better fix your face. Somebody ought to shout, fix your face. I feel like preaching right along in here. Fix your face. Stop. Somebody ought to take 5 seconds and give God a praise right now. You got to fix your face. Stop looking like the devil is beating you up. Stop looking like your enemy's got more power than your God has. I got news for you. I can smile when I'm broke. I can smile when I'm unemployed because they my teeth, and whether I bought them or I put them in a glass, I'm going to. Have I got a witness here? If you ain't got but one good one, you ought to show off that good tooth. And if you ain't got no teeth, show off them gums. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. The king's anger. King anger grows, and the fire grows, but they never wavered. I feel my help coming. They never wavered in their commitment, and so the king said, time up. Bind them up in their coats. in their leggings and in their tunics. I didn't understand it until I realized who gave them the clothes. The king gave them the clothes and then tied them up in the clothes he gave them. Can I be real with somebody? Don't take everything folk give you. Because some folk give you stuff just to tie you up in the stuff they gave you. You remember when I helped you? You remember when I picked you up? You remember when I came to your rescue? I wish that ain't nobody but somebody trying to tie you up. They tied them up. I remember Joseph got a coat of many colors, and in their coat they tied him up. But they failed to realize, watch this, Pastor Joshua, when you are anointed, my anointing is contagious. And so if you give me something and I put it on, my anointing saturates what I put on. Let me see if I can make this plain. My father always wore polo cologne. And he would, and my father would spray it everywhere. Spray it, rub it on his hand, put it on his neck, all of that. And when we would try on my daddy's clothes, when he wasn't there, we would walk around like we dad, and we would come home, we would put it in the closet. And then when my daddy come in, he would say, come in. You've been wearing my stuff. I wonder if God sniffed you. If God was to come in. That ain't my stuff. Come in. Oh, that's what I wear right there. I wish I had a witness there. Let me go to my text here. And so the king tied him up for doing what God wanted them to do. He tied them up, threw them in the fire. Verse 23 says, they fell into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. My question is, if they were so committed to God, why couldn't God get them out of the fire? If they were so faithful, why did God let them get thrown into the fire? Have you ever asked that question, God, I've been so faithful. Why do I get thrown? Can I be real with somebody here? I'm not talking to the folk that come every once in a while. I'm talking about the folk that you just lay out before God. And you have to ask your question, God, I've been faithful. I've been trying to do right. Why do I get thrown in the fire? I'm going to answer that question. Point number two. You have to understand sometimes the way out of the fire is in the fire. Y'all got to help me preach it. Let me see if I can break this down. That door over there, it has above it, has an exit sign. Now, that exit sign is a little deceiving because on the inside, that door is an exit. But on the outside, it's an entrance. Y'all missed that point right there. I said when you're on the inside, it's an exit. But when you're on the outside, it's an entrance. The door does not change. It's when your position changes. And sometimes the door you're complaining about, that's an entrance. God says if you ever step in it. Let me see if I can make it plain. So several years ago, about 10 years ago, Salem had to get some new locks on the doors. And the contract said, well, it's $75 a cylinder, which means there's a cylinder on the outside and a cylinder on the inside. So each door has two cylinders. So you can open it with a key on the outside and open it with the key on the inside. Now, we got some cheap deacons at Salem. So they said, we got to lighten this load a little bit. So he said, what I can do, I can put a cylinder on the outside where you need a key to get in. But I can put what we call a thumbnail on the inside. So you don't need a key to get out. All you got to do is turn the thumbnail and get out. What I got news for you, Satan may think he's locking you in. But he didn't know before you went in, God put a thumbnail on the inside. And so when I get in, I don't need nobody to let me out. I let myself out. But can I make you shout one more time? But not only do you have thumbnails, but you got what you call panic bars.
Now, a panic bar, which means that there's a bar across the door, even if the door is locked, if there's a fire or if you got a reason to panic, you just hit the panic bar and the door flies open. I got news for Satan. Lock the door if you want to. God got a panic bar on the inside. So if ever I get scared, Pastor, I just hit the door. And you say, I locked you up. I know you did, but my Bible says when God allows you to go in, he'll make a way of escape for you to get out. I got news for you. Don't lock me up. Because if you lock me up, I'll make my own door. Right here in the text, right here in the text, right here.
The Bible says, yet to understand this point, you got to understand that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because all they saw was the fire in front of them. But what they couldn't see was who was waiting for them in the fire. Not only could they not see who was waiting for them in the fire, they couldn't see the blessing on the other side of the fire. But faith is required because he does not show you what's on the other side of your trouble. Because your devotion should not be based on the reward. Some people are holy as long as God is blessing. Some people will come to church as long as God is giving stuff. But the moment he stops giving, I wish I had a witness here. Some of us are devotion based on the reward, because if it is, then you are determined if it's worth it based upon the reward you're going to receive. Let me see if I can make this plain. If I say, Pastor Joshua, there's donuts in the fellowship hall. The only way he's going to get up and go, number one, he got to like donuts. Number two, he got to have a taste for donuts. And number three, he got to realize, is it worth walking from here to there for nothing but a donut? Let me see if I can make this plain. If I tell somebody, let's go eat. If you know I like potted meat and saltine crackers, then when I give the invitation, the first thing you say, I don't want no potted meat and no saltine crackers. Because I know if you invited me, I know what level you eat on. But if you know I'm a steak and lobster man, I ain't got to tell you where we're going. If you know what level I operate on, then I don't have to tell you what restaurant you're going. You say, if I go with Pastor, we ain't going to eat no potty meat, because Pastor ain't no potty meat type of man. I got news for you. God don't have to tell you what he's going to give you if you know who God is. God is a God that don't operate on small levels. So he ain't got to tell me how he's going to bless me. He just got to say, come on. I wish I had a witness here.
Right here. Right here, right here. My point is, when you know who God is, you don't mind doing what God asks. Three boys, I got to get out of here. Three boys didn't mind going in because they knew who God was. And when I know who God is, I can not only go in, but I can grow while I'm in. When they threw him into the fire, the king was immediately astonished because the boys didn't look like. He threw them in. Now, growing up, the preacher used to say whether Nebuchadnezzar went to sleep and he couldn't sleep and he rocked and rolled and he went up and looked in. But no. The Bible says the moment he threw them in, he looked in. First of all, they didn't holler when they got thrown in. I got news for you. The devil will never hear me holler. He threw them in. They didn't holler. But then they didn't look like where they were. They actually looked like they did when they was on the outside. I want to know, can you still look good when you were in it? Like you did while you were out of it. I wish I had a witness here. The verse 25 says, I see four men loose. He asked the question, didn't we throw three in? Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, who's the fourth one? They said, we didn't throw three in. We threw three in. He said, who's the fourth one? We threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, no, I see four. I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I see another man that looks like the Son of God. Now, can I make you shout? Nebuchadnezzar has never seen the Son of God. He never saw a picture of the Son of God. But when he saw how he walked, when he saw how he, let me tell you, you ain't got to tell folk you saved. You ought to walk a certain way. You ain't got to tell folk you go to church. You ought to just walk a certain way. Right, right. But point number three, I'm a Baptist preacher. Point number three says, you have to understand some things God can only do on the inside. The reason God didn't prevent them from going into the fire is because God needed the fire. Y'all gonna help me here. For the fire was a tool that God wanted to use. The lesson is you have to go in it if you want God to use it. If you want God to use your struggles, you can't avoid your struggles. If you want God to use your enemies, you can't run from your enemies. Because if you won't go in it, God cannot use it. Watch this. The king lit the furnace and heated it 7 times hotter than normal. And then he tied the boys up in knots and threw them in the fiery furnace. In my mind, he not only tied their clothes, but he put their clothes in knots. Somebody say knots. Now, my father, before he became a politician, was a contractor. And often when he would go to Home Depot, he would get that white twine, and he would tie whatever we carried, some lumber, to this old Chevrolet Blazer we used to have. And when we would get to the job site, because me and my brother would always play with my father's tools, sometimes he couldn't find his box cutter. He couldn't find his knife. But he worked with a man that smoked a pipe by the name of Ben. Ben always had his Zippo lighter in his pocket. And so when my dad couldn't find a knife, he would say, Ben, let me borrow your lighter. And Ben would give my daddy the lighter, and my daddy would zip it open, put it up to the knot. Y'all ain't shouting yet. And the flame would burn the knot. I got news for you, baby. Sometimes the reason you still tied up is because you're looking for a knife. The reason you said you better get in some Holy Ghost fire, because God got a way of burning up some knots. If you get in the fire, I don't know what the devil got tied you up, but the reason why your situation is getting worse and not better is because God is in a not burning business. God said, I got to put you in some stuff to burn up some stuff that's tying you. Write him the text sometime. He got to put you in the fire. That's why the fire got 7 times hotter, because there were some strong knots they were tied in. And so sometimes God got to put us in some stuff in order to loose us from some stuff. Sometimes he got to put you in some stuff to loose you from some stuff. Sometimes he got to put you in some stuff to loose you from some stuff. Sometimes he got to put you in some stuff to loose you from some stuff. I'm going to say it till you get it. Sometimes he got to put you in some stuff to get you loose from stuff. Sometimes he got to put you around nothing but enemies so you'll know God is truly your friend. Sometimes he got to put you in some stuff. Sometimes he got to take away your money so you will know, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Sometimes he got to put you in some stuff to free you from some stuff. But watch this. I'm going to my seat when I tell you this. Don't worry about, because the fire, I know it's hot. I know the fire is 7 times hotter. I know it's a hot place. I know it's an uncomfortable place. I know it's a high pressure environment. I know it's a scary place. I know it's a tight place. I know it looks like you're locked in. I know it looks like you're not going to get out. I know it looks like you're going to be depressed forever. I know you got to cry sometime. I know it gets difficult. I know you feel like giving up. I know the nights get long. I know you got to cry sometime. I know you done prayed without ceasing. I know you done read your Bible. I know you done shouted by yourself. I know you done talked to Big Mama. I know you done talked to Big Papa. I know you done talked to the pastor. I know you done talked to the deacon. But the fire keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. But I got news for you. If you're still talking, you ain't got burned up. Somebody just shout right there. Hell, I'm going to shout myself. You come to me, you talking about how hot it is, you talking about how deadly it is. If you can still talk, baby, that lets you know the fire got instructions. It can burn up your money, but it can't touch you. It can burn up your friends, but it can't touch you. I got news for you. You will never know when I'm in the fire because the fire can't burn my hair up. The fire can't touch me. Somebody ought to shout, you can't touch me.
Fire, fire, and fire. It's fire to me. Pastor, can I be real? I know it's time to go. Can I be real? Somebody came in my office and they said, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm in my third bout with cancer, and I'm getting chemo. I'm getting radiation, and it's getting hard. It's getting hard. It's getting hard. I can barely make it. It gets hard. You know, I got to take pills. I got to take pain pills. It gets hard. It gets hard. It gets hard. And after about an hour of her telling me how much she was going through, I said, well, let me ask you a few questions. Number one, can you afford your medicine? She said, yes. I said, you got a good doctor? Yes. Did you walk from the door to my office? Yes. Are you still got strength to talk? She says, yes. I say, do you feel like passing out now? She said, no. I said, well, you don't realize I just gave you 5 reasons to be shouting. You came to me talking an hour about depression, but in 3 seconds, I gave you 5 reasons to start shouting. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but can I give you 5 reasons? He woke you up this morning. 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 I got 5 more. He woke you up this morning. He woke you. I got 5 more. He woke you up this morning. 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 But sometimes, some things God can only do on the inside. You got to go through it if you want God to use it. You got to go through it if you want God to bless you on the other side. I said you have to go through it if you want God to bless you beyond measure. I said you have to go through it if you want all things to work together for good. You have to go through it in order to know no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. You have to go through it if you want to know weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You got to go through it. But some things he can only do on the inside. If you don't believe me, he healed Bartimaeus on the outside. He raised Lazarus on the outside. He walked on water on the outside. He healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter on the outside. But early Sunday morning, when he went in the grave on Friday, and the king locked him on the inside, put guards on the outside, but they didn't realize there was a panic bar on the inside. So even though the king locked him up, even though the king had guards on the outside, he made a bad mistake. He should have put the guards on the inside and stopped letting them wait on the outside. Because as long as God was on the inside, he wasn't panicking. He was going down to hell, getting the keys of hell and the grave. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. And what I love about him, Pastor Joshua, he didn't need a key to get out. He didn't need a thumbnail to get out. He didn't even need a panic bar to get out. It's like when you walk to Walmart, once you step on that mat, the door automatically opens. You better learn how to walk with Jesus, because as long as you walk with him, when the door opens up for him, I'm going to walk right through it. You better learn to walk with godly people, because when he blesses you, he can bless me. Somebody ought to help me right along in here. Do I got anybody here after 135 years of God opening doors, after 135 years of God making ways out of no way, can somebody shout with me? Can somebody give me glory? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say Jesus. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't know what he's done for you, but the more I praise him, the more
he does for me.
Right.
The more you walk with him, the more you walk with him, the more you walk with him. I said, the more you walk with him. Can I tell you one more thing? My father is a city councilman in Dallas. Now, it's hard getting in the city hall because they got security everywhere. They got locked doors everywhere. But my dad said, just call me when you get outside. And my dad leaves his office and he meets me in the lobby. And when I get to security, my dad just, he's with me. When I get to a locked door, he's with me. When I get to another checkpoint, he's with me. I got news for you, baby. God will say, he's with me. She's with me. They can't get back. He's with me. He's with me. You with me. You with me. Come on up to the mountain. Come on up to the kingdom. You with me. 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 And if the door is locked, God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Somebody ought to shout with me. He's an awesome God. I don't know what he's done for you. And you know what? It ain't none of my daggum business. But you might as well tell God, thank you for everything. Everything. Somebody give God a praise. Open up your mouth. Give God glory. Stand to your feet. Shout for joy.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, let us do this. Don't y'all move yet. Just be still. Don't move yet if you can just